Hello and welcome to a short but nevertheless hopefully important update. So much going on, and that seems to be the mantra, doesn't it, at the moment. But I wanted to bring you up to date with a few things that are occurring and what's happening, and then you can add that into the mix and see what you feel about it. So the first thing I wanted to tell you about was the situation with Ted Mar's radio show. For those of you who've got good memories, for the last 5 years, I've been twice a week sometimes, and then towards the last sort of 2 or 3 years, we did it basically twice a month, going on Ted Mar's radio show, and he was broadcasting out of Seattle. And for me, it was a great way to target my talk more towards the American people. And what a surprise then when I got a message from Ted Mar saying that the owners of the radio station, and we're not talking, someone doing it in their shed, we're talking about a professional radio station that reaches a quarter of a million people in the local area, and of course, as an internet radio station, is listened into by many, many people in different countries. That the managers had received a request, if that's the right word, from some very powerful people that gave an ultimatum to Ted Mar to either drop his pro-Trump stance and stop inviting people onto the radio show who spoke well of Trump, or face losing the radio station. Well, Ted Mar is a man of honor. And so he said he wasn't going to go back on that. And, I'm one of the people that he would come on regularly onto his show, and he didn't want to drop me or anyone else for that matter. And he wasn't about to go back on it. And so they've pulled it. I think it's got another week or week and a half to run. They have cancelled it. So if anybody in America still believes that across the US there is free speech, and you've got some constitution somewhere and some amendment that guarantees you free speech, forget it. So here you go. Seattle, which, and those of you who've got really good memories will remember 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago, I was warning about Seattle. It was the only state in the United States that allowed FEMA guards to ride along with regular cops, and not just a ride along, but actually to have the same powers as those cops. And the only way you tell the difference was the badge on the left shoulder here. The uniforms were absolutely identical deliberately. And Seattle was the only state to do that. So I knew then that the cabal, this is when Obama was president, the cabal were very deeply rooted in Washington State, and particularly in the Seattle area. So because Ted Mar has not been overly friendly for towards the governor, a guy called Ainsley, Ainsley, and because he's pro-Trump, he's lost the radio station. Now, before everybody thinks, well, that's dreadful, it is dreadful, but looks like he might be able to re-establish from California. Now, California is a mixture of cabal controlled, but also there are pockets of great resilience. Connecting Consciousness has a lot of members in California, and it's very alternative. People are quite free thinking. So I'm hoping that he's able to get a radio station in an area that's quite free thinking. Because actually, it shouldn't matter what your politics are. If you believe in the true notion of free speech, it shouldn't be a reason to close down a radio station because a person has a different view to you. You should only close down such programs when they're racist or sexist or violent. But just because somebody holds a different point of view, to close it down is the biggest sign to ordinary, unawake, and unaware people. And I really hope that Ted's going to advertise the fact that he's been closed because of his position. So that's what I wanted to tell you. I guess Ted will be sending me a link, and he'll have a link so that you can re-find retune to the new station. I'm already booked on, I think, for the end of June. I don't know when that is exactly, but because Ted said, you know, do you still want to come on? Oh, of course I do. I want to support what you're doing. And I'm not going to be silenced like that. That's absolutely disgusting. That's the sort of thing you expect in China or North Korea. You do not expect it in the United States. But look at all the things that are happening. Who 6 months ago would have even believed some of the things occurring in the US? Supposedly the land of the free. It's a hollow statement, isn't it? I want to talk about the demonstration for Black Lives Matter. And what I want to do is to be very clear that there's it's not a subtle, it's a very big difference between those genuine people campaigning for democracy in the true sense of the word, and the equality of black people in regard to the way they are dealt with by the system. And a huge difference between the group that are being funded and paid to cause as much damage as possible. Now, I, like you, I'm sure, have seen plenty of videos. Now, I've not seen all of the videos, but most of the white people seem to be the ones throwing the rocks, bottles, doing all the violence, and with the black people who were perhaps helping themselves to some of the goods from the stores. I'm not condoning either, and I'm sure that both white people and black people did, you know, everything there of that minority. But the point was that it seemed to me that the white people were the agitators. It seemed to me predominantly that the white people had been part of this group. Now, I've had lots of Connecting Consciousness members send me countless links, so I know that it's not a fake website or fake news. And time again, there have been these let's attack the racist statues. That was the heading. And then it said, let's get rid of Trump. So, how are the two compatible? How genuine is something that says, let's attack the racist statues? And by the way, let's get rid of President Trump. So, I'm sorry, but that to me is very clearly a political agenda, not about Black Lives Matter, but another method to attack the police, attack the vision that Trump has and the position of Trump. Anybody who was genuinely about Black Lives Matter wouldn't bring that end of politics into it. You know, you wouldn't bring that politics into it. You would concentrate on the matter in hand. If President Trump was outwardly gone out and supported violence against black people, then that would have made perfect sense. But I seem to remember that more African American, more black people were, before the virus, were in employment, were currently employed than at any other time in America's history. Now that's a fact. That's not a Trump tweet. That is a fact from the State Department, that before the virus hit, more black people were actually employed than ever before. Now, that is not the actions of a guy who hates black people. That's the actions of a president who actually wants to empower anybody who wants to work, regardless of what the color is. You know, if you want to work, then I want to try and find you a job. And that, to me, is the American dream. That's surely what it was all about. Think about those white people from Ireland. Think about the black people. Think about just about Chinese, anyone and everyone over the last 150 years who have gone to America because it represented a place where you could at least be free and, you know, find a job. Well, all of that now seems to be falling in on itself. And I was not joking when I said last time on the message that there was a 25% chance that the first of all, that President Trump might, there might not be an election on November the 3rd, and there's a growing chance of a military action in some of the cities. So I want to talk more on that because there's a lot of nonsense. I don't mean to be disrespectful or rude, but there is a lot of nonsense from people who don't have the intel, don't have the connections. Maybe they just picking little bits up from left, right, and centre, and then putting it all in a pot and coming up with some stuff that's pretty nonsensical. And those of you who have taken the trouble and the kindness to listen to me over the years know that I'm not hysterical, and I don't give you information unless I'm as clear with it and as bought into it. You know, if I believe it, I'll tell you. If I don't believe it, I won't tell you. That's how I operate. So we'll have a situation where just about everything and anything has been tried to remove this president. The only reason they haven't been successful and murdered him like they did with Kennedy is because the guards are too good. It is simple as that. You know, just because it doesn't make it into the news regularly doesn't mean they're not continually having a go at him. And they've tried everything to remove him and it hasn't worked. So that's why they're left with the virus, and you know, they've played that one out. That's not worked. So we had a legitimate uprising from not just black people but white people and every race about law and order and how that affects black people. But it shouldn't just be about black people. It should be about Hispanics, it should be about Asians, it should be about women, it should be about gay lesbians, it should be about disabled people. It shouldn't just be about black people. It should be about anybody who's a minority. But that's just how I think. And the reality here is that we have a situation where a very, very powerful small group of people, the usual actors, have paid for and controlled the social media in terms of a concerted attack against the president in another attempt to make it impossible for him to be re-elected. The idea being that they can cause so much distress that the opposition guy, and this guy's name is Joe Biden, for those of you not in America, who is going to stand against Trump, to make him look even better. In other words, Joe Biden doesn't actually look very good. He isn't. I've listened to him speaking and I've been confused, not just because I'm a Brit, but I've been confused by what he's saying because it didn't seem to make sense. The only other time I can ever remember being so confused was Bush. Bush used to talk absolute nonsense. The words used to get mixed up and he put sentences and sometimes he wouldn't even know which state he was in. And Biden, you know, seems to be along those lines. Now, the point here, I think, is that if they keep Biden out of the interviews, they keep him out of the conferences, he says as little as possible. And what they'll do is they create as much mayhem as they can, then it would appear that President Trump is the guy presiding over disaster, whereas here's Biden in the wings, going to be the great go-to man. And I know that many of you who are fully clued up on the situation know that it's not Biden that's the problem. It's who's going to be the VP, who's going to be the vice president. Because I have been told that within 6 months of Biden becoming president, he's going to be medically retired, and then whoever is the vice president becomes the president, and that is the person who will be deeply connected to the cabal. So with Hillary Clinton, because she was the go-to woman and would have been president, it was too much. So we've learned the lesson now, the cabal, and so they're trying to hide the cabal candidate in the wings of the official nominee. So that's very important. So you have a situation where I believe the American military, the key generals, not just the Marines, the key generals, are now literally saying to President Trump, if it gets any worse, call us out. Now that's not me being a schoolboy, that's not me, you know, I know this. That's exactly the situation. And somebody said to me something about Hillary Clinton in 2016, and I said to them, yes, I'd heard that. And that was basically that if Hillary Clinton had won, then the military were prepared to break the Constitution and actually go out on the streets and remove her. Now, the reason that you've got Trump is simply because they felt that that was a much better way to handle a situation, because it didn't put the military into conflict with the Constitution. And a number of people now are thinking that they wish they had. They wish they'd taken on Clinton head on. But we've got the situation where you have the appointee of the military, President Trump, and the cabal with its really tight control of the established media, which includes the BBC, doing everything it can to belittle and to cause damage to Trump. Now, I don't know whether we can believe the polling figures that are coming out of the states. I don't know if they're true or not, but they are showing that if there was an election tomorrow, then Trump would lose. That's the reality of the situation, that Biden is really popular. So two things here. One, that could all be just propaganda and lies. Or secondly, it could be true, but we've got 5 months to go to the election. And the more Biden opens his mouth and speaks, the more people won't want him. Now, can the cabal keep up this relentless pressure against the establishment of the president for the next 5 months? Now, if they can, then I can absolutely assure you that that will guarantee the military out on the streets, because if the military feel that the election is being unfairly won, then they won't stand by. You see, the military, the generals that I'm aware of, are sworn to oath that if a free and fair election is fought, then they must honour that. But if there is underhand deception and manipulation, it frees them from their oath of office to the Constitution. In other words, if a group of people are using undemocratic means, then it means the military can be undemocratic. Now, I think that the cabal were quite happy with the National Guard on the streets, because then they could shout out, it's the army against the people. But they were less happy about regular soldiers, because National Guard really come under the control of the governor in most states, whereas the regular military don't. They come under the control of the president via the Constitution. So we have all these attacks on racist statues. We really should say a statue commemorating a person who had racist tendencies, but it's easier to say racist statues. And that was being funded, and it was great, and it was fine from the cabal's point of view, not a problem. But what happened was that in Great Britain, this group of funded people turned on a statue about Winston Churchill. Now, what they don't understand is Winston Churchill was a member of the cabal. Of course he was. He was an elite. He was the right man at the right time for Britain. Absolutely no question of that. But he was still an elite. And I've talked about this. Those of you, again, who've had the trouble or the patience to listen to me, my grandfather, who was a British diplomat, met Churchill. Not in the war years, but he was out of office. He lost a guy called Clement Attlee, and then he was re-elected. And my grandfather met Churchill as one of the last few things that my grandfather did, basically before he retired. And he said that Churchill had a parrot called Admiral, I think, or Captain or Admiral, something to do with the ships. And the parrot was not kept in the cage. And my grandfather said that you'd be sitting with a meeting with the Prime Minister Churchill, and the parrot would just literally fly about, making a mess everywhere. And no one could say or do anything, because this guy was the Prime Minister. But this guy was a member of the elite. My grandfather was very clear that this was, you know, he was a bit of a problem. So when this mob attacked the statue of Churchill, suddenly, you will have noticed the violence from Antifa type groups just went to zero immediately. And in Great Britain, the violence we got was actually from the other extreme, the right wing extreme, who had formed like a wall around these statues. This right wing group wanted to protect the statues, and they're the ones that fought with the police. Whereas the groups that had been looting and smashing got the orders, stop attacking these particular statues. Now, I know that demonstrations take time to wind down. If you've got hundreds of people looting shops, smashing, doing this, they don't just stop on Tuesday morning. They take 2 days or so to get less and less and less. But this just stopped literally like that overnight, which tells me that social media, the messages went out, to the troublemakers, don't do this, don't do that. That's a very big sign of a control. So there are certain key targets that the elite don't want attacked or damaged because it's very close to their heart. There are a number of places in America where downtown areas have been totally destroyed, and I don't actually understand from a political point of view how that would help Biden. Because if you're a storekeeper and you have a shop and you maybe employ 7 or 8 people, those people are going to be employed locally, and somebody comes along and burns down the store and you don't have a job, are you likely to go and support those people who shout, "Let's defund the police because we don't want the police getting in the way. We want to burn your shop down, and we want to set fire to your cars, and we just want to steal everything we can." Would you vote for that person, or would you vote for someone who's saying we've got to have law and order? So I just don't understand from as an ex-politician, I don't understand the logic of that. Because if you've got shop after shop that's been literally burnt and robbed, and some of those shops won't reopen because the insurance, the payouts, you might have hundreds of people who have lost their jobs because they worked in those stores. Now, do they say, "Yeah, that was the right thing to do. That's it. Yeah, you burnt down my livelihood. I can't work, but that was a really good thing to do." Or will they say, "Actually, I want troops on the streets. I want to be able to go to the store, buy something without being knifed or attacked. I want to know that my wife or my sister or my husband or brother can go out without being attacked. I need to know my children are safe." What sort of society does America want? Does it want a lawless society where the police are defunded? Is that what you want? Or do you want a place that gives you some sort of protection? And I'm not in any shape or form trying to be an apologetic for any actions. And there is a history in America of black people being oppressed. You'd have to be stupid not to know that. But how do you deal with that? Do you go around burning shops and stores that have got nothing to do with it? Most of those people in those stops and shores probably employ black people, probably employ local people, and haven't got any interest in people being oppressed because they want to sell their goods to the community, regardless of what color that person is. They want their money, so they should give a good service to everybody. So why are they being attacked? In the days of the poll tax, and I know Americans will struggle with this, but we had a different system of tax, and we had a Prime Minister called Margaret Thatcher. For years and years, there had been issues and problems and rioting, and different groups of people have been unhappy, but it was always in the poor neighborhoods, and that didn't have any effect at all. Of course it didn't. And then this tax came in, this poll tax, and as soon as the demonstrations took place in the banking sector or the very upmarket high-end retail sector, wallop, it all changed. And I think about the IRA. The IRA fought a war, a campaign for years, and it didn't have the slightest effect. But as soon as they started putting bombs in the banking sector on the mainland, oh, the Prime Minister of the day, then John Major, he was then, came and sat around the table and had a talk. So burning shops or stores that have no connection to the subject of matter isn't the way to win the hearts and minds of people. And if you passionately believe in a subject or a topic, you have to try and win the hearts and minds. Violence is not the right way because you lose more than you gain. So my concern is that if this continues to roll in this way, then America will have regular army units on the street. And that's how it's looking unless something gives. Now, the elite are not likely to give much, and Trump can't give much. So I don't know where it's going to happen. We've got 5 months for something big to go. Somebody's got to be arrested. Some charge has got to come out. The only way to try and break the deadlock is to try and take out some of these key people. But that hasn't happened in the 3.5 years that the president has been in office. It is unlikely to happen in the next few months. Much more likely to occur in a second term of office. But that isn't much good at the moment. So we've got these few months of quite intense, I say negotiations, I mean negotiations in term of brinkmanship. You know, this street gets blown up, so then another person in the elite gets arrested, and it's a tit for tat situation. That's what's going on. All right, let's leave that and move on. Becky and I are really delighted that as the sort of proponents of connecting consciousness, we've been I don't think won an award is possibly the right word at all, but the Trappist monks and the Buddhist group. This is a if you think about Buddhism, there are a certain number of monkish groups, and one of them is the Taoist monks. So Trappist we've all heard of, or many of us have heard of, and Buddha we've heard of, but maybe some other different groups we haven't heard of. But we've been asked to if we would like to have a blessing. So both Becky and I are going to the main temple in Manchester, and the Taoist monks are going to bestow a blessing on us for the work that we are doing for humanity. And we are deeply touched and deeply honored that a spiritual organization has recognized that what connecting consciousness is about is literally about connecting consciousness. It's not political, it's not religious, and it's very wonderful that such a group who want to recognize the work that is being done with CC, connecting consciousness, and are going to honor us with a blessing. I think they know things that others don't know, and I think they know what's around the corner, and I guess they just want to keep us safe. And I'm very grateful to them for that. So that's really lovely, and we thank you for wanting to, you know, recognize the work that we do in CC. All right, let's talk about this virus, and we'll talk about the second wave. I've been told now by two separate sources there is absolutely, definitely a second wave on the way. I've been given two separate dates. The one that sounds more realistic is September for the virus to re-emerge as a mutated form. But I've had a member from Intel tell me that they're looking at mid-August, which shocked me because that's still into summer, and I couldn't really see how we could get a resurgence of the virus while the summer was still going on. But I could see it in the fall. So I've got one date for mid-August and several dates now for September for the virus to start up again. And I know you're all going, oh no. The thing is that the governments are not being, as usual, open with people. This information I'm getting is coming purely from the intelligence agencies who have had sight of all of the back engineering that the medical side have done on this virus, and believe that it will go through a new mutation at that time, which will be worse. And that's all I can tell you on that one. And on that one, if like me, you've sort of eaten into your prepped food store a bit, it would be wise, if possible, to try and build up your food stores, particularly if you're in the United States. Another 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Food for those of you who can manage it would be great. I know there's lots of preppers out there with 3 months or 6 months worth of food, and good luck to you. You've been planning for things like this for years. I'm trying to reach out to people newly waking up, newly desperately searching for the truth, trying to know what to do. And if you haven't yet done so, and you've got a few pounds or dollars or whatever it is to spare, you might consider just building up a couple of weeks if you can afford it. If you can, more money then longer, but some food and water, because we may go through another phase of difficulty as we go towards the fall. So my story isn't doom and gloom, but it's very serious in that this is a battle to the finish. The elite have given up trying to remove Trump as they would see it in their own standard way, and they are now going hell for leather to engage the public, use the media, and cause as much dissent and destruction as they can. And unfortunately, in some states in the US, you have got governors who are so controlled by the cabal that they will literally sack the police. They will do whatever they can to keep their head above water. If the cabal is blackmailing them or has got information on them, then they will literally follow those orders. And I will go back to the message I started you with, that Ted Maher's radio show removed simply because it was too pro-Trump. Now, that should be the biggest warning sign for anybody, because that means these people are not backing down. We've got a big showdown coming. And maybe that's what these monks know, and maybe they want to give us a blessing, because as you know, Becky and I have fingers crossed, going to the United States this year to take Connecting Consciousness to America. And you know, we don't know how rough the ride will be, but we're on the roller coaster, we're on the fairground ride, and we've got to see it through. We will do whatever we have to do. And I know that the vast majority of you who very kindly listen to the show will support what we stand for. And when I get to the United States, I hope that many of you will have the chance to meet. If anyone offers me a chance to speak at a conference or a symposium, I'll do it. Because we've got to build the strength. We've got to build this organization. We've got to realize that the very foundations of the establishment of the United States are under threat. It sounds crazy to say that the most powerful country in the world is on the verge, not of collapsing, but is on the verge of tipping in a certain direction, which could then unleash a hellstorm as both sides then drop all the pretense at playing a game and go for each other's throats. And the only people who will lose will be the ordinary people who didn't see it coming, which is the vast majority of people who run on the railroad lines, do everything they need to do, and suddenly all this occurs, and they sort of looking around saying, well, where did that come from? Nobody told me. Well, you weren't looking. So there is a big battle ahead. And I did get it wrong, and I was quite open about it. I don't mind saying I'm wrong. I got it wrong. I thought this battle was coming in 2021. I genuinely thought that the showdown that we are now looking at was for next year, because that's the information I got. And somebody somewhere decided that President Trump was still electable. Too many people liked President Trump, and they wanted to bring him down. And so that's literally why they brought all this forward. Hello, do you want to say hello? Come and say hello. Okay, come and say hello. There's Freya, who loves to say hello. Hello, darling. Been a good girl. So I think that'll conclude. It's nice to end on a dog moment, because we normally end with a cat. And so the poor old dog is outnumbered 9-1. And so she chooses her moments with impeccable timing, and so she's coming at the end. So listen, thanks ever so much. We've just got to keep strong and see where it goes. Thanks.